£1,000. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Grow your business with Kent's best business events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk. Where do businesses in Kent go to do business? Supplymybusiness.co.uk. Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join today. Supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio and Channel Radio on this Tuesday, March the 7th. We're now joined from all the way over there in the USA by Mr. Ken Herron. Good afternoon or good morning for you, Ken. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Good afternoon.
It's lovely to hear your dulcet tones. Are you currently sat by the pool in Florida?
Wrestling.
I am not, but I am looking out at the pool because I think people have an expectation when you live in Florida that you are always poolside no matter what time of day or night.
Well, funnily enough, Jules was giving you that kind of build-up earlier.
Little flower shorts.
So thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show, Ken. It's been quite some while since you were last on, quite a few months, and we have missed you.
Thank you. I've missed you as well, although I can always listen to you online on Channel Radio, so
absolutely.
I do get my fix there.
Absolutely, and likewise, your So-So Show broadcasts on this very channel on a Friday at 3 o'clock, and we love listening to that. Ken, you're going to be joining us by the wonders of technology next week at the Digital in Kent show, I know. And you're going to be up.
Yes, very much looking forward to it.
And we're really looking forward to hearing from you and from Carol, the LinkedIn lady. And but I want to talk to you today, if I may, about new trends in social media technology and particularly live streaming.
Yes, both live streaming and live tweeting. I know a lot of people kind of shake their heads and, you know, to say, okay, you know, enough of this nonsense. I have more social media than I can deal with. I'm struggling to do it on a daily basis, as Ken tells me I should. But these two new forms, and they're not necessarily new, and if I may, there is someone sitting next to you who has proven to us that it really can be well incorporated into everything you do on a daily basis.
Our friend
Jules there, at the risk of complimenting her, has been very effective at both live streaming and live tweeting different events as she is out and about.
Thank you, Ken. That's an honor.
Funnily enough, and also sitting right next to me on the other side is a lady called Bird. And Bird does our Facebook Live for us while we're here on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also quite prolific with the Facebook Live. So yeah, we got some mavens in the studio here.
It's powerful stuff. May I start with a quick explanation of what it is for people who have no idea what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that would be useful.
Often the case.
Yeah. No, that would be
live
useful.
Live streaming can be on any channel you choose. It's often done on Facebook through Facebook Live or on Twitter through Periscope. But it can be done on YouTube as well. It can be done on Instagram now. And it sounds like what it is. It is a live, interactive broadcast where you are sharing whatever you're doing, wherever you are in real time. One of the best practices or recommendations is to let people know in advance that you're going to be doing this. But it can also be spur-of-the-moment spontaneous. And what makes it so different from a traditional video is that it has that energy of being live. As you know, doing a live show is a little bit different than doing a pre-recorded show.
Absolutely.
But it's also interactive. People get to ask you questions in real time, and it's much more interesting, much more engaging for everyone.
Mm. It's amazing, isn't it? We've started live streaming the radio show, I suppose about the last 3 or 4 months. And the audience we get is huge on the live stream.
Yes.
And we do it before we go live on the show. So it's what we call the pre-show show.
I'm always shocked at, Ken, at the number of people that do tune in to a live stream and stay watching. What I find quite hard is when I'm actually filming to respond on Twitter, especially, or Periscope, I should say, to respond to them while I'm filming. While I'm streaming,
it's something different to think of. Many people try to do it. They'll script it out and say, okay, here's what I'm going to say. And they can be taken aback that it's a conversation. it's no longer a broadcast. Mm-hmm. It's the difference that you're getting up in front of a live event. It used to be that people would give their little speech and then there would be Q&A at the end. It's much more interactive. People mm-hmm. now want to participate. They don't want to wait until you're done to interact. They want to interact throughout. So to your point, Jules, if you have something specific you want to share, you may think about, okay, how do I allow myself the time and space for people to not only listen and enjoy and see and hear what I'm doing, but also give yourself that opportunity and then the opportunity to really fully participate. Because to be fair, when you're doing a live stream, even though they're listening to you, it's like the comments in a blog post or on a website, they're also listening to each other, and that's what makes it so different. That's what makes it so effective for marketing and communications.
It's amazing, isn't it? I think for me, it's one of the most profound changes in my lifetime is looking at what the effect of this kind of technology, because the entire media industry has been turned on its head. Print media, TV, radio is now all interactive, where for its entire history before that, it was broadcast. It was them to us. We had no way of interacting with it. They just told us something and we had to believe it, or we had to watch it, or we had to view it, or we had to consume it. None of those media now work in that way.
What's so exciting to me is that even for a local TV commercial, it can still be quite costly. But if you have a cell phone, if you have access to Wi-Fi, or you have an inexpensive data plan, you can do live streaming for significantly less, realizing you still have to have the equipment, you have to have a smartphone, a mobile with the right apps on it. But it is so much less expensive for you to live stream than it would for even a single 15 or 30-second spot on a local TV channel.
Absolutely. And in the UK, we don't have such things as local TV channels. We only have national channels. So for us, it's even more expensive.
Okay.
Yeah. For us, it's even more expensive.
Much more.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. Interestingly, not my show, unfortunately, but one of the shows here on Channel Radio 2 weeks ago live streamed the show and got 40,000 viewers.
Wow. That is impressive.
We've impressed Ken.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 40,000 viewers. Yes.
That is.
Give
that really, is it fair to say that that's more than their typical listening live audience?
Oh, I should think so.
Because that immediately changes the dynamics and kind of the metrics, the analytics we use to do media. That's phenomenal.
It is, isn't it? And it just shows you the power of this, because I guess if we, in the UK, if we did have local TV channels, you'd be looking at that as an audience number, really. Because the UK is quite small and we don't have big footprints. So you're absolutely right, Ken. You've hit the nail totally on the head in terms of the efficacy of live streaming as an advertising medium. Brings it into the smallest of businesses can afford to do it.
Yes, yes. And it's fair to say we are trading a little bit of time for the fact that we can now do this for free. But using Jules and others as examples, you're doing things within your business already. People often say, they ask me, Ken, okay, I get it in theory. It's easy to do. I've downloaded the app, but what should I live stream? If you own any type of physical business with products, you're often getting shipments of new items. Show the unboxing. The idea of unboxing something that is new and exciting, it may sound a little silly to us, but those are some of the most popular videos on YouTube. By making it interactive, people get to see the new product first, and as you're obviously trying to sell that product, to promote it, to let people know you now have it in stock, that's a very effective way to introduce something that's new to the world, especially if it's something that you want to demonstrate or operate or show people how it works.
Absolutely. It's funny you should say that. We also on Channel Radio, we have a show called The Tech Talk Show. And on the show, they do an unboxing every week. It's hilarious. We have some tremendous fun with that because you never know what's going to come out of the box.
That element of surprise.
Absolutely. Last week, we had the funniest product you've ever seen. They were supposed to be night vision glasses. But basically, they were really cheap, you know, like they were about four or five mm-hmm. $4 or $5. And what it actually was a pair of glasses with a torch, sellotape to one arm.
I love that. Very sophisticated technology.
Absolutely.
Or a
yeah.
candle.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But you're absolutely right. Unboxing is a huge phenomenon on YouTube as well, isn't it?
Many people also tell me they don't feel comfortable being on video, mm-hmm. that not all of us have the natural personality and charisma of some people sitting there in the room with you.
The solution
to that is that you don't have to film yourself. Mm-hmm. You can simply turn the camera and shine the light on others, mm-hmm. make other people look good, so you don't necessarily be the star of your live streaming videos if that's not something you're comfortable with.
Absolutely. I want to say this, but I'm kind of putting it as a question to you as well, Ken, if you don't mind.
Of course.
My thoughts on this is, you know, we do a lot of this stuff on our smartphones or on a tablet maybe, and some people say to me, yeah, but, you know, the quality's a bit poor or, you know, you're looking at... But my take on this is, and it's to do with me being ugly as well, so... You know what you were saying about, you know, people not wanting to be on camera. But I think at the moment part of the endearingness of live streaming is that it's kind of amateur hour, and we're just kind of doing it on the fly, unscripted, pointing a camera at someone and going, talk to me. What do you have any thoughts or feelings on that?
Yes. And you're 100% correct. It's that authenticity. Mm. It's that realness. Mm. It's that not trying to pretend to be something you are not. Mm. And I can even point to research. When we're using imagery, when we're using videos in our marketing, oftentimes we ask ourselves, well, should I just take a quick photo of it with my camera? Should I get a professional photographer? Should I use a stock photo? And the research is overwhelming that the candids, the snapshots, the photos you take yourself are significantly more effective in terms of conversion, in terms of getting people to click, getting people to purchase, than using the fancy, pretty stock photos. And the same holds true. I would push back a little, however, that the bar is continually being raised, that you're, for example, you're now seeing people, when they live stream, use a tripod.
Yep.
Rather than try to hold the camera themselves, which can get a little bit shaky.
Because you get awful arm ache.
Yes, well, that too. That
well,
too.
Because Jules can't hold a camera and a glass at the same time. That's the problem with her.
No. Ken or no, when I do...
Only one glass?
Yeah, yeah.
when I do conferences, Ken, as you know, sometimes that'll go on for an hour, and I've sat in the front row, and suddenly I get bicep, you know, aches.
It's like Bird's been filming here, but she's got muscles on her muscles. I mean, that's...
So tripods, yes, yeah. I agree.
So you'll see people using tripods. So, okay, that's getting a little bit more professional. You'll also see people that if they do this on a regular basis in an office or in their store, they may get some lights. And it could be the lights they already have, but they may pay a little bit more attention to the lighting because that can make a huge difference. And the simplest upgrade is when we're all looking at our mobile phones now, when it comes time for renewal, we're thinking about a new one, we now also look at the video quality, that's something we consider. And the latest generation, you know, the iPhone 7, the quality on the video is exceptionally high.
Right.
So when we say,
you've just made Jules's day, Ken. She's just walked in here earlier with her brand new iPhone 7.
I swanked.
Oh, she will be unstoppable.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
I was doing a lovely live stream the other day, Ken, in Margate at the Slope Off Friday event. But, of course, it's a small Kentish seaside town. It started off, but then the Wi-Fi disappeared or the signal or whatever. So that was a shame. Mm. Do we ever get to a stage where we have an antennae we can take with us?
She wants her own broadcast transmitter now.
Yes, she's going to ask for a satellite truck so she can drive around and do her live stream.
Yeah, outside broadcast unit. Ken, this is a fascinating subject. We could kind of talk to you about this for a long time. Sadly, we're kind of running out of time, but people can hear you at the Digital in Kent conference next week on the 16th of March, which is taking place at the cricket ground, the Spitfire Cricket Ground in Canterbury. Are there any points you want to leave us with before we let you go back to sitting by the pool there in Florida?
Just the idea that if you've never done this before, if this in any way sounds intimidating, to go ahead, take a deep breath, and just do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give yourself that permission to play, to experiment, to trial. And you can tell people, hey, I'm going to be doing a test stream. I don't know what will happen. I think you will be delighted with how simple it is and with the response you get. Mm-hmm. So that is the encouragement. Really give it a go. Give it a try.
Fantastic. Ken, as always, it's been an absolute pleasure to hear from you on the Business Bunker Show. We love having you on the show. We're really looking forward to hearing more from you at the Digital in Kent conference next week. Mm-hmm. For the moment, if any of our listeners don't know you, and I don't think there are any, but just in case, how do people get hold of you? What's the best way to get hold of you and engage with you?
Best way to find me is at Ken Herron, K-E-N-H-E-R-R-O-N, on Twitter. And people can also find me on LinkedIn.
Fantastic. Ken, thank you so much for joining us on The Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always, to talk to you. We're looking forward to catching up with you again next week. And enjoy the rest of your week.
And a big hello to Carol.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah. Cool. Take care, Ken, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. That's Ken Herron there. I expect he's getting his surfboard out now, do you?
Probably, yeah.
After that.
It's probably the middle of the winter in Florida now. There's probably a hurricane blowing outside, really.
I don't think the weather ever gets
bad. They don't have winters in Florida.
That's where people like you go to retire, isn't it?
People like me.
Yeah, you know, after a certain...
People like me. She means old people.
Well, we can't say that anymore, though, can we, on air?
What do we have? What are they now? Chess people?
Probably.
You fully challenged.
Yeah. Thank you, Alan.
Alan, yeah. Do you know, Ken Herron, I could listen to him all day. He's just so knowledgeable. What an ace man.
I was saying, I don't know if you remember, the very first time that Ken came on one of our shows, he introduced the concept of watermarking.
Yes, that's right.
Which is putting a watermark in a picture.
Yeah.
And for a month after that, every single tweet and post on everything that all of us followed had watermarks in them, didn't they? Yeah. Everybody just adopted it. You know what's going to happen now? As of this afternoon, we're going to get inundated with thousands and thousands of live streams.
Yeah, people are going to go mad.
Absolutely.
Ken Herron said it, so...
Absolutely. We're going to do a couple more emails and tweets, and then we're going to talk to our next guest.
Which will be Alan McCabin of Bradley's Accountants.
It will. How did she know that?
I don't know.
It's spooky.
I just sat up all night thinking about it. This is Colin Brown. Do you know Colin?
From Best Business Breakfast.
Yeah.
Business Breakfast.
So I'm going to read out his email in a minute. He says quite a few attended in February, and that the general consensus was that we should continue. Because do you remember he was thinking about winding down, wasn't
he? Yeah, because people weren't coming.
Funny enough, that was last month when I was here. So this is...
We save all the best for you.
Yeah, he sent it in. Well done, Colin. So he says... we're looking forward to meeting the new vicar who arrives on March the 14th. I think they met in St. Augustine's Church.
More tea.
They're not a tea and cucumber. They're not a religious organisation, but that's where they were meeting. And the new vicar will bring some new ideas and contacts to enhance the group, he says. And he also says he's going to put out his usual plea to think of any colleagues or acquaintances you might bring along this month. It'll be Thursday the 9th, so he must be talking about March. They're at the Honourable Pilot, as usual, and aim to start at 7:30. Colin is on email, colin@businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk.
Fantastic. Throughout 2017, we'll be bringing you four amazing storytelling sessions told by business professionals who have something interesting and some experiences to share. This is nothing to do with pitching products. It's a time to hear about the personal experiences of fellow business women and men. The stories may be amusing, they may be challenging, they may be inspirational, or perhaps even a little sad, but they'll definitely be worth hearing. Do come along and support our storytellers. Maybe they'll inspire you to tell your story at a future Business Diaries event. So this is the Business Diaries event. There's going to be four sessions of stories, and they are stories of things what have happened to me. And they're not about business. They're not aphorisms. They're not, you know, lectures. They're personal stories from your history. The next event is taking place on Thursday the 23rd of March. It's from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And it's at the Innovation Centre in Medway. That's in Maidstone Road, Chatham. You can follow these guys on the Twitter and their Twitter handle is BizDiaries, B-I-Z, BizDiaries. And you can book your place on the 23rd of March event by going to eventbrite.co.uk/the Business Diaries Storytelling. So the next one's on the 23rd of March, and then the next one after that is in June. And unfortunately, you're going to have to listen to me.
Oh, not you again.
Yeah, sadly.
We've had a tweet from the lovely Alison Palmer of FSB Kent, and she says that Ken Heron says candid, authentic photos are more effective for engagement than professional set shots. That's really good of you to tweet that in, Alison.
And what?
What?
Professional set shots.
Set.
Oh, set shots. I thought she said professional. You did as well, didn't you? Come on, be fair. We both looked at each other and went, what?
Really? Yeah. Well, where is your mind?
You know, obviously in the gutter.
Yeah, exactly. Great minds think alike though, Alan.
Alison Palmer also says, marmalade is not for me. This is to Ramsay and me. Marmalade is not for me. Poached egg and salmon, though. Yes, please. She didn't mention the kipper, though, did she, Ramsay?
No, she did. Poached egg and salmon sounds wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We've had our weekly tweet from Venom Tech as well.
Oh, now what is it?
They're just saying that they're listening into the Business Bunker show this week.
That's not really good enough, is it?
No, well, they did give us a Venom of the Week last week.
Yeah, I know, but I like to stretch them.
Yeah, yeah. But that's Venom Tech. The Venom Research is their Twitter handle, and they are a research company based over in Discovery Park. And they extract various poisons and toxins for medical research purposes.
And they send lots of nasty pictures of spidery things.
Spiders and snakes and various things. Yeah.
I want to know why I've always got a spider that comes right above my head when I go to bed. My new husband has to gallop about and try and catch it.
She hasn't been dusting again.
Put it out the window.
She hasn't been dusting again. No. You've been neglecting your wifely duties. No. No wonder your new husband's getting the hump with you if you've not been dusting.
No, I think it's because I was brought up like a 50s housewife to air the room. So I open the windows every morning. They all clamber in, don't they?
Do they?
Yeah, they come in to get warm.
Like the SAS. They've got little helicopters. They all slide down ropes and come in. Okay.
They do, but there's always one dangling above my head.
Where are we going? Oh, I see. Right, okay. Would you like to grow your income in 2017?
Yes, please.
Then don't miss this exciting and dynamic Free Growth Accelerator conference. A day packed full of powerful, brilliant and relevant business content, all aimed at increasing your income in 2017, including great speakers, how-to seminars and over 60 exhibitors. It's happening on Wednesday the 22nd of March from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's at the County Cricket Ground in Canterbury. And if you want to reserve your free place, go to businesseventsuk.com, Grow Kent Business Show, and book your place. There are some phenomenal speakers there. I can't remember all of them because there are a lot of them, but Brad Burton's there, Tom Power's there, loads and loads of Steve Connell's there, loads and loads of really good speakers. The whole thing's free. Come along.
No doubt you'll be there.
I'm chairing the event.
Yeah, see?
I'm also... how I land up with this, I'm chairing the event, I'm also at the same time doing a workshop, and they also said, could you do radio interviews?
So all at the same time?
I've got to do three things at the same time, so that's going to be cool, isn't
and
it?
And you are a man, after all.
And I can't multitask, is what you're saying.
They cannot.
Yeah, absolutely.
They cannot.
So you're absolutely right.
Chris Pollard's popped up again.
He's busy today, isn't he, Chris?
Chris J. Pollard, yeah. Chris J. _ Pollard, he's popping up. And Alison Palmer says, I'm glad you're reading out all the important tweets. Meaning hers.
Obviously, Alison, just for you.
Big hello to Supply My Business, listening in, the lovely Martin White. Got lots of new members, he says.
Good. Seven Oaks Business Show is taking place on Friday the 28th of April from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and it's at the Stag Plaza, which is in the London Road, Seven Oaks. Business networking, presentation and exhibits. It's free entry and the first 100 visitors get a free goodie bag.
I do love a goodie bag, don't you?
Absolutely. If you want to find out more, you can email admin.tp@sevenoakstown.gov.uk. So that's the Seven Oaks Town Partnership, Seven Oaks Business Show on Friday the 28th of April.
Lots going on in Kent. Now, I've got a huge one here. Do I have to read that?
I've got a big one.
I've a big one, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Not.
Well, I don't know. What's it about? Can't you paraphrase it?
Well...
Give it a go.
So
go on.
It was quite good for Alan because he's coming on and he's an accountant.
He's coming on in exactly 2 minutes, so get on with it.
Chancellor's Spring Budget on March the 8th, the British Chambers of Commerce is urging the government to take action on delivering real reform to the business rates system.
I should think so too. I'm not getting my soapbox out again, but government... you're wrong. Get the business rates sorted out.
And the BCC seeks four key measures on business rates from the spring budget. Abandon the fiscal neutrality principle in business rates reform, an unacceptable barrier to fundamental reform of the business rate system.
I can paraphrase that entire email for you.
Unique to that tax.
I can paraphrase that entire email for you. Government, business rates, no.
Sort it. Yeah.
Stop.
It's very long, this, but I think Alan.
Adam.
This is
Who's Adam?
Adam? No, this is Adam.
She's brought somebody else.
No, Dr. Adam Marshall said
Right.
He's the Director General of the BCC.
Okay.
Don't you know? But I think that Alan is going to know all about this, don't you?
Should we talk to Alan then?
Yeah, let's.
Yeah, let's not put him on the spot or anything, of course.
I'm sure he's recovered from his father-in-law driving him home after Slope Off Friday.
Yeah, just about.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Mr. Alan McCappin of Bradley Accountants to the Business Monkey Show for the very first time. We feel like we know Alan really, really well because we see his exploits lovingly filmed and photographed by Jules at various events. And then I'm incredibly rude about him looking like Kevin Turvey. So,
I was asking Jules, what's it like to be on the radio here? Mm. She said, it's exactly like the Howard Stern show. She said it was exactly like
it. It is. You can't tell the difference.
And here he is. He is actually the poster boy. I did have another poster boy on Slope Off Friday, but he didn't turn up for one of the meals, so I ended up paying his $14.99. And he's never paid it back, which has annoyed me.
Are we going to name names here?
No, I wouldn't name names. He's a lovely man, but he's a bit forgetful. He still hasn't paid me. So I whipped him off of the poster boy picture and put Alan.
And replaced him with Alan.
Alan is lovely, yeah, and he deserves to be the poster boy.
Well, I'm glad we sorted that out.
Yeah, thank you.
Alan, welcome to the Business Monk.
I'm glad for the promotion.
Welcome to the Business Monk Show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on. Why don't you tell us a little bit of background about you and about Bradley Accountants, and then we'll kind of go into some of the meat of what we want to talk about.
I know. First of all, I want to know why you have an owl as your mascot on your here, on your branding.
The thing about this, Alan, is that it looks like you're not going to get a word in edgeways.
What is the owl?
Every time I've asked you a question so far, which has been three times, she's answered it.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm asking, what is the owl?
It's an owl.
Right, okay. So with the owl, this was the sort of interesting thing. We were trying to come up with the branding for Bradley's. We wanted a refresh look because our old look was literally black and white typewritten font.
Right.
So we were thinking, how can we refresh it? And we thought, we like the whole orange and black feel. Mm. So we went for that.
So you copied the Business Bunker? Yeah. Orange and black, yeah.
Yeah. Or the orange is the new black, you see.
Exactly, yeah.
But, we were thinking, well, what's like synonymous with accountancy, and apart from an abacus and a calculator?
Mm.
And we were just thinking, well, I suppose for now is wise. So you look towards the accountant for his wisdom. So that's where we brought the owl in. And I must admit, we did spend a little bit too much time with the owl. We came a bit owl-centric. We started going, what about if we had half spectacles or full spectacles? So we had like about four to five different arrangements of like how his glasses would look. And we finally went with the half spectacle look,
This was all part of the Free Owls movement that the Labour Party started some time ago as well, was it? Okay, so that was the owl. So tell us a little bit about the history of Bradley's. And you're an accountant, yeah?
Yes, I am indeed.
It's hard to tell, isn't it? Because he's got a personality and everything.
Such a charmer. I know you want to see what colour pants I'm wearing.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got to be orange and black now. Yeah. So tell us a bit about the history of Bradley's.
So Bradley's established in 1999. In July 2012, I think, was actually when we did the rebranding. And I've been in the accountancy game since, I think it's about 2006. So I wasn't originally with Bradley's, but I joined at a later date.
Okay.
But I've been with them since... about April 2013.
Right. Where were you before you joined them?
I was with Tax Assist Accountants in Essex.
Okay, right. Yeah.
Another Essex boy.
Yes.
No wonder you two get on.
Yeah. Born and bred in Essex.
So was I.
We've got to stop this bird. We can't have these Essex lot keep coming in.
Where were you born in Essex?
We have to have our own Essex slope off.
Yeah. Where were you in Essex?
Canvey Island.
Canvey Island. I used to go there to, was it Tots or 06 or?
No, probably,
he won't know, will he? He's half your age, for goodness sake.
Canvey Island, it was a Monaco, probably, or Emily's Bar.
Yeah, it was good, anyway. I remember.
So, anyway, Bradley's.
Yes.
So Bradley's has been going about 17 years.
Yeah.
Accountancy firm, where are you based?
We're based in Welling, which is between Bexley Heath and Greenwich.
Yeah, almost London.
We're opposite the betting shop and next to the Avenida restaurant. We've always found that Avenida seems to be like the landmark for everyone in Welling. You just go, we're next to the Heath. I know where that is. And we've got a sort of like we've got the flamboyant orange and black. So you'll see that we do really stand out on the sort of the parade because we're on the high street as well. So there's people that sit there. And
then the significance of the betting shop is, you don't need a pension. Do an accumulator.
Well, you see, bets are tax-free. So.
Yeah, exactly. See, I knew. An accumulator is a much better investment these days. So from your point of view, being serious for a moment, not for long, but being serious for a moment, do you specialise in any particular types of companies that you deal with, or do you deal across the board?
So
how does it work?
What we feel that we sort of naturally specialise in is small to medium-sized businesses. Mm-hmm. We also have had a strong focus on new businesses as well, because they're we found the most demanding, because they're the ones that need... There's so much to try and learn, and you've got so many hats to wear.
Yeah.
So... it's one of those things where we felt that we've naturally progressed with a lot of new businesses. Mm. And the other one is the construction industry. It was
construction.
So it's an area where I had a lot of clients in Essex in construction. Mm. And it's kind of grown from that where I've got that. And it's also an area where a lot of people need assistance, because there's a lot of legislation around the construction area, and it can get quite technical, as well as a lot of compliance issues.
Yeah.
So a lot of these guys just want to get out of work. They don't want to think about this stuff.
It's what we were saying earlier, isn't it, about the new HMRC crackdown on self-employment. Mm. A lot of people that work in construction, and there are special rules in construction, which are called CIS.
Yeah.
A lot of people that work in construction are just one-man bands or one-woman bands. They're experienced tradespeople. They just want to go and lay bricks or build doors or, you know, fit electrics. And then, thanks to our glorious government, they have to spend half the year doing compliance stuff.
And then you've got auto-enrolment as well, which has made it very difficult for smaller employers because it's just basically another tax in a way, because you're fining them for non-compliance.
Yeah.
So they have to ensure that they comply with pensions, which some employees don't even really want. But then you have to enrol them and then de-enrol them.
I know.
So the problem is, as well, is the looseness of the term worker.
Yeah.
So it can actually apply in some instances to people that are self-employed as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
So hairdressers, etc., have been caught in some instances where they should actually be putting them on for pension purposes, even though they're not employees.
Absolutely, and so. I want to discuss this with you, because for me, as you probably know, I occasionally operate as an angel investor. And lots of people come to me with investment opportunities for startup businesses. And I spend an awful lot of my time just going through basic administration stuff about the setup of a company. Leave aside whatever they're going to do as a business. In trying to say to them, you need professional help right up front more than ever now. Because just starting out as a sole trader, or, you know, just incorporating as a limited company, you don't just do that. You need to do the right thing for you and what you're doing, and you need to examine the options that you have. And, of course, there's more options now than just those two as well. Yeah. If you work in construction, you have to have the special CIS legislation. Mm-hmm. You can be a CIC or a CIO, you know, which are social enterprises and not-for-profit businesses. So there's a lot of different ways that you can incorporate.
You're right there, Paul, because, I mean, we've had a few instances where people have set up limited companies, and they would have been better off as self-employed.
Yeah.
Especially because in the first 3 years, you can actually offset losses against other income. So if you're either employed at the same time or in the previous 3 years, you've got that potential to offset those losses.
Yeah.
And in effect, we get a tax refund. Yeah. Whereas, if you were to straight away go into a limited company and you haven't been at least considered that option, then you've just lost effectively that.
Absolutely. Refund. And people make those decisions without asking first. Yeah. And it's incredibly difficult to undo that after you've done it, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm a great believer now in people saying, calm down, don't do anything until you've spoken to someone that knows what they're doing here. Yeah. Because there are all, you know, and this is all brought about by legislation and regulation that has made life so difficult because there are so many rules.
Changing all the time.
Yeah, and you know, let's not be silly about this. There are needs for some rule. You can't be, you know, completely anarchic about anything. There are needs for some rules and regulations, but they have become a bit overbearing and really difficult for people to kind of cope with on their own.
Yes.
And thinking of that, Alan, I was thinking about you yesterday. How do you cope with all the changes that are coming in? Because you're dealing day to day with your clients at your desk and going to see them and everything else and running through stuff. But then you've also got to keep on top of everything that's changing with the government. You've got tomorrow's budget and, you know, as well. Yeah. How do you cope with keeping up with it all?
Well, the thing is that as part of, because I'm a chartered certified accountant, as part of my ongoing continual professional development, I have to keep up to date with any changes. I have to dedicate time actually outside of employment to make sure that I keep up to date on those. I attend also training events as well. There's also, I subscribe to, there's like an online tax service for accountants, which gives them updates on recent legislative cases as well as changes that that are coming up, or if there's any special reliefs. Because what you'll find sometimes is that with the budget, is that they'll give you a very broad brush sort of aspect about what they've put in, but then there's some items where they don't really announce them very well, and people aren't really aware of them. But they could have been useful to that particular person. So.
And I don't want to sound like a broken record, and you'll already be understanding that I'm not politician's favourite person.
Yes.
But one of the things I do find is that a lot of legislation gets announced without really thinking it through.
Yeah.
And then all you know, people such as yourselves, when they go, you've done what?
Yeah.
Well, what about the effect on this? And then you suddenly find that some of it's not been that well thought through, and you get unintended consequences that happen.
Yes.
That then, we've in the last few years we've seen them row back on some of the things that they introduced in budgets because they hadn't thought it through. Because it's now so. I mean, I have to say I retweeted one of these things last night, and this isn't having a go at Jeremy Corbyn because it could happen to anybody. But I don't know if you saw, he published his tax return online.
Yeah.
And got it wrong for the second year running. And somebody tweeted, isn't this interesting? How about we demand that every MP does their own tax return without asking a professional just to see what they've imposed on everyone else?
Yeah.
Because it's now, you know, you just can't keep up with it. Even professional accountants, because he didn't do it himself. He got a firm of accountants to do it for him, and they got it wrong. Yeah.
So, Alan, what changes do you think Philip Hammond has in store for us?
Oh, good question.
There has been some mumbling, actually.
Well, we love a mumble, don't we?
We like a mumble.
And it unfortunately is not a good thing. It's one of the things that there was mention of was that potentially they could look at bringing the national insurance percentage in line for self-employed people and employees. Because currently it's 9% for self-employed individuals, but for employees it's 12%. So there was some murmurs at the moment that potentially that could be his next target. Whether that comes into play in this one, or whether it will be in a subsequent one, but it's something that was kind of talked about.
I know the answer to this, but I'd like to just for you to clarify. At the moment, with National Insurance, if you're employed on PAYE, you as an employee pay National Insurance, but your employer pays earnings at about 13% or whatever it is.
13.8%.
on top of that. Mm-hmm. If you're self-employed, do you pay both sides of that, or is it, it's fixed rate, isn't
no,
it, 9%?
Currently you just pay at the 9%,
yeah.
And then effectively there's no insurance paid by the employer,
yeah.
Which is why, with as you were mentioning earlier about they're trying to enforce people into employment
because they get more money from tax, yeah.
To catch up on that national insurance that they're losing.
Yeah, so to some extent, I'm never a great fan of increasing taxes,
yes.
But to some extent, it's kind of fairer if instead of stopping you being self-employed, mm-hmm. if they just said, well, look, you need to pay more tax because most self-employed people are avoiding tax.
Yes.
Effectively. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then a lot of self-employed people take great risks. You know, they don't have a regular salary coming in.
Yeah, no. I mean, we could have a political argument about the ins and outs of that. But
yeah.
but from the point of view of a structural point of view,
mm-hmm.
Alan's absolutely right. HMRC are conducting a massive crackdown on self-employed people because they believe they're losing £20 billion in potential revenue a year by people not paying the amount of tax they would pay if they were employed. Yeah. And so my view on that is, instead of beating up on people, why don't you just change the rules?
I mean, one of the things that they did target was the likes of contractors where they're working for the public sector.
Yeah.
So there's been a massive change on that, which will come effect from April.
Absolutely. And that is really going to put a cat amongst the pigeons in the public sector.
So is that people like Serco and...
They tried to put people off by changing the tax legislation.
Yeah.
But because of their broad brush approach, they've affected small businesses as well. So they changed the dividend rules.
Yeah.
So you only get this £5,000 exemption.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you could, as long as you weren't a higher rate taxpayer, you didn't pay any additional income tax.
My understanding of the new legislation, as far as it affects the public sector, is that they've now said that the public sector is liable for everybody that's a contractor as a PAYE person.
Mm-hmm.
The thing they haven't thought out, and this is where they've really screwed up big time, is the NHS, because all GPs are self-employed.
Yeah.
So they've just, by one piece of legislation, suddenly said, we now employ 150,000 GPs on £200,000 a year, and the NHS are now liable for that tax bill.
Well, there's a can of worms.
So there's a whole can of worms that they've unleashed without thinking about it. Anyway, good stuff. What else have we got to look forward to in this budget?
We've got the fun of... there's the lifetime ISA, actually.
Yeah.
This is actually one of the positive things,
right,
which he touched upon in the autumn statement.
Right.
But essentially, I presume he'll probably release more information about it in certain criteria.
Mm.
But at the moment, on the face of it, it seems like it could be a good deal. You could contribute 4,000 in, and then effectively the government will add an extra 1,000 in.
Right.
So idea is who it applies to is anyone under the age of 50.
I don't care then.
So,
who cares?
I don't care either at all.
And effectively, the money that you've topped up year on year, you can then use to put on as a deposit for your mortgage. So it's a good scheme.
It's a good scheme. Yeah, it is. No, it is.
But
being serious.
I mean, that's what they're focusing on now. It's the first time buyer market's so difficult to get
into. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But that's why they've been targeting property investors.
Mm.
So they've made changes. Already, which already imposed, you've got the 10% wear and tear allowance has been removed. You've got, they're restricting the relief on mortgages, and in 4 years' time, effectively the relief would be gone for higher rate taxpayers in terms of the additional element of it. And then also the 3% stamp duty is already in as well for an additional home. So, I mean, so the only other thing that is coming in is the 16.5% VAT flat rate, which will target a lot of contractors to make it, in effect, basically not worth their while use, because it was quite good, the flat rate scheme, where they were getting quite a good relief. But
so that's a change in the flat rate scheme.
So
the flat rate used to be 11% for some businesses.
Yes, it could be, depending on what industry you're in.
Yeah.
But I mean, what they're doing is that if you're not effectively selling, have any physical products.
Mm.
And it's only services that are your cost.
Yeah.
So if it's travel, if you've got subcontractors or anything like that,
yeah,
then you have to apply the 16.5% regardless of what industry you're in.
Right. Okay.
So, and then the other thing which is making a bit of headlines is actually the Making Tax Digital. which...
Yeah, that's been a laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. We need to talk to Ken Heron about that, perhaps.
Well, do you just want to... we haven't got much time left, yeah. Alan. Do you just want to give an overview? Because I know a lot of small businesses were worried about this. Because when they first announced it, they were talking about quarterly returns as opposed to annual returns. Yeah. And we all hate doing the annual returns. So to do it four times a year, people were getting the right ump.
I mean, apparently it was going to be the end of January, they call it. But essentially, with effect from April 2018, they're expecting businesses that are self-employed, so anyone that's on the self-assessment aspect, they'll have to make quarterly reports.
Yeah.
In terms of what they class as a quarterly report, they is mainly a sort of like the sales, the gross profit, and net profit.
Yeah.
So they're looking at creating something on HMRC to do it, but a lot of the cloud-based products will be compliant with that, like Xero and QuickBooks.
Yeah.
Online.
Because it's all going to be digital as well, isn't it?
So it has sort of revolutionised the accountancy market in the sense that a lot of people now will need to get some sort of, either the accountants will have to supply cloud-based software and train the clients to use it, or they'll have to utilise it on their behalf.
So more work.
Yeah.
More work.
Yes.
More taxes, basically, is what it boils down to.
Yeah.
So, lots happening.
Yeah.
Lots to be happening. I think the... The takeaway point from this is all of us need good advice all the time now.
We do.
And that's the sum of it.
Yeah.
I some time ago, it must have been about a year ago now, I posted a tweet and I said, I'm going to see my accountant tomorrow. And loads of people went, oh, you poor thing. Really? Why? And they went, it's like going to the headmaster's office. I went,
I have mine round and I cook him shepherd's pie.
Yeah, well, you do that for everyone. But I was saying, no. My accountants are my best business advisors ever. If I've got anything I want to ask, I ask my accountants first.
Yeah.
Really? Like, yeah. You know, oh, mine just tells me off. Stop putting things in a shoebox then. So, Alan, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for that and some of your insights and predictions. Yeah. And we'll see how many of those come true in the budget in a couple of days' time. For the moment, though, how do people get hold of you personally? How do they find out more about Bradley's?
You can get us on 020-8303-1287, or you can find us on www.bradleysaccountants.co.uk.
Have you launched your new website?
We should have, hopefully, launched the new website.
Yes.
Because I haven't been in the office yet, I don't know whether has been, but there'll be a few slap wrists if it hasn't been released. But I do hope that it has been.
Okay. Well, I do hope that someone listening is going to come and pump up your tyres, Alan. That's what's worrying me, how you chug back to Welling.
And so, and if we want to follow your personal exploits, which I think really are worth following with you and Jules and the gang, how can we do that on the Twitter, Alan?
Yep, I'm just down as... Actually, I don't
Alan
even know.
M. Small C. Cappin.
Yeah. If you follow
Slope Off Friday.
If you can find Jules, you'll find me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they come as like bookends, the pair of them. Alan, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Funk Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for that. We'll look forward to seeing what happens in the budget and to seeing where we go from there. But for the moment, Alan McCabin of Bradley's Accountants over there in Welling in South London, Kent border. Thank you so much. What we're going to do now, Jules?
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show where we cover the Federation of Small Business news of
Channel Radio News Update.
It's like a boomerang.
I just said that, didn't I?
It's like a boomerang.
Yeah, it always comes back, that one, doesn't it?
The National Apprentice Week, the apprentices are a great way, the apprenticeships, to take on someone new, as Ramsey was telling us earlier, give them important skills to help them and your business grow. And the FSB is a proud supporter of this week's 10th National Apprentice Week. The hashtag is NAW2017, and this is a fantastic opportunity to learn about apprenticeships and hear from those who have taken them into their business. And the FSB will be promoting the campaign throughout the week, also with Ramsey. So you can follow the Twitter FSB_policy and the hashtag NAW2017.
Budget help on small business rate rise. Community Secretary Sajid Javid has pledged help in the upcoming budget for small businesses facing the steepest business rates increase following another week of sustained media pressure on the issue. Also news that small firms could face additional rate rises of up to 8% because of new laws giving elected mayors powers to hit firms with rate supplements. And they haven't even mentioned Business Improvement District. I've got a suggestion here. Just stop with this, because it is insanity. You are going to put so many businesses out of business with this. You're going to bring the economy to a grinding halt if you carry on with this silliness.
It's already...
You've got to rethink the business rates. Exactly. They are totally wrong.
Go. Do you think they're going to backtrack on it?
No, what they'll do, like all good politicians, is they'll instead of taking it out, they'll add incentives and give-backs. So they'll charge you massive business rates and then make you apply for a discounted relief rate and just generate more admin.
Wilmington, this is, again, the FSB, ready to pass on your business advice. Could you inspire the next generation of entrepreneurs? Perhaps you've thought about hiring an apprentice, but are not sure how to get young people or if they have the skills that you need for your business. Get involved if you have the chance. This fourth FSB Skills 3030 event will give you the chance to forge strong links with a local school and share your experience of running a business and meet potential young employees. So you need to contact kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Wilmington. The event is Friday the 30th of June. So you've got plenty of time, diary date, 10 till 1 o'clock. And that will be also facilitated speed networking.
Fantastic. As it's National Apprenticeship Week, the FSB are promoting, I love this, I can't help doing it, get in. Go far, which is.
I feel like I'm at a football match.
Yeah, exactly. Get in. I just love it. I can't stop doing that. It's the government scheme to promote apprenticeships, and it's called Get In, Go Far. But I just like.
They've got very hip then.
Get in, go far. FSB is back in the latest phase of the government Get In, Go Far campaign to promote apprenticeships to small businesses. Apprenticeships and Skills Minister Robert Hafflin has written a blog exclusively for First Voice, that's the FSB magazine, encouraging more small businesses to hire an apprentice. National Chairman Mike Cherry was also quoted in the Department for Education's press release. You can also watch a short film with the FSB's Apprenticeships and Skills Chair, Anthony MP. To do all of that, if you go to fsb.org.uk, you can find out all about Get In, Go Far.
You're going to say that all day now.
I am.
Closing the digital gap. FSB,
you're not going to say anything.
Has urged the government to engage with small businesses as it moves forward with digital strategy. Launched this week, the strategy includes a focus on skills and infrastructure to support the digital economy. National Chairman Mike Cherry said the digital gap for small businesses hinders productivity and growth. For the UK to be the best place in the world to do business, we need fit for purpose digital infrastructure and help for small businesses to develop their businesses online. Paul, get in.
Go far. Thank you. There's networking in March, and I hope you can join us in Tenterton for an evening of relaxed networking with like-minded business owners and a local FSB member venue, The Secret Pantry, which is in the High Street there. Hear about FSB membership and how it can support you in running your business. We're delighted to have this month's guest speaker is Sam Nightingale of Gibbet Oak Farm Shop and Cidery. FSB members and non-members are welcome. You can pay on the day. It's £5 for a member, £8 for non-members. They've got contactless, cash card, whatever you want to pay by. Bring a friend or a colleague. There's some lovely nibbles to eat and drinks and stuff like that. Wednesday the 15th of March at the Secret Pantry, 100 High Street, Tenterton. And you can find out more about it by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/networking March. And that brings us to the end of our FSB News Roundup for another week. I've got a tweet here that I need to read from Matt Leapnick. And he says, Vanillaware Business Bunker, could we have a mention for Chalk Circle? We provide IT security services in Kent. And then he's got hashtag ransomware protection. So if you follow him on the Twitter, and his Twitter handle is Leapnick Matt, which is spelled LeapnickMatt. So do give that a follow. We've got 450 more tweets
to read
and 3 minutes to do it. So I'm afraid it's not going to happen, folks. If I've missed you, I do apologise. there's been some funny stuff put on tweets. Somebody's tweeting about your house and cobwebs as well, so that's
really?
Kind of interesting. Yeah.
Is it a cleaner?
Yeah.
Tracy Ferguson is saying that Alan's hair and beard matches branding. I wouldn't have that, Alan. You have not got orange hair.
Orange.
Tracy, you're in real trouble there.
Yeah. Cool. Anyway, this has brought us to the end of another show. I just want to tell you what's coming up on Channel Radio, because we've got some changes. She's back. The lovely, the gorgeous Nathalie Benaik. Mademoiselle Nathalie Benaik.
She came to Slopoff, you know.
Yeah, yeah. She is back with the Kent Creative Arts Show at 4 o'clock here on Channel Radio. And for her first show back, her guests on the show are Faversham Life, Newton Paisley and Beam 23. So do tune in at 4 o'clock to that. And then at 5 o'clock, it's...
You're listening to Craig Avery on Channel Radio.
It's the ladies' favourite, the man with stripy socks, Mr. Craig Avery, with his showbiz and music show from 5 until 7. And that is followed for the very last time on a Tuesday by... Seven till nine, the New Potatoes Show, 18 tracks of unsigned new and up-and-coming music presented by Jamie Andrews. For the last time on a Tuesday night, it is moving to its new slot on a Sunday from 5 to 7.
Oh, you made it all dramatic.
I know.
I thought he was doing husband
No. So it's just moving from Tuesday, and we have a new rockabilly show starting on Tuesdays as from next
rockabilly.
Week. Do you?
I shall tune in.
That's with Joe Firmiger starting next Tuesday. But, of course, on Channel Radio here, we always finish, as we always do on a Tuesday night, with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two.
Cool drum beat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
10 to 11 tonight with a wonderful Boy George on the Club Culture Show. Do stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk. But that brings us to another end of another show. I'd like to say a huge thank you to everybody that joined in, the audience, the tweeters, the emailers, everybody. But most of all to our guests in the studio, Mr. Ken Heron all the way from Florida there, Ramsey Cowan of IPS International, Mr. Alan McHuffin of Bradley's Accountants, my co-host, the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin, and my executive producer.